In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hitting rock bottom is the easy part. Sin is the easy part. It is part of our nature. It is who we are. This is how we were born. It comes naturally to all of us. Like everyone around us, we are by nature rebellious, disobedient, unfaithful, disloyal prodigals. That's why most of us identify with the prodigal son, not the elder brother. "You're right, Jesus," we say. "We are, by nature, sinful and unclean." It's so easy being a sinner. And thank God for grace. We may not be to the point where we go on sinning that grace may abound, but we think that if we get this sin thing right, then all is right with God. When the prodigal son hit rock bottom and started to eat pig food, he had to act quickly or he was going to die. So he returns home to his merciful father. He was sorry for his sins. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But he would work off his debt, the debt he owed his father. "Make me as one of your hired workers." You see, the prodigal son thought he had it wired. Fess up that you are a sinner, make a plan how to get back into the father's employ, and all will be right. "I can save my life and save face at the same time," he says to himself. "I'll work my way back on my own terms, and I'll be okay. Sin is behind me. I'll show them all that I am worthy to be back." This is really no confession at all. In fact, better to be a sinner, a prodigal, than a self-righteous younger brother whose repentance is merely an attempt to make himself right with his father by his own works, by his own effort. This so-called confession is where the prodigal hits rock bottom. He takes his place alongside the elder brother, and every Pharisee that Jesus ever condemned for getting it all wrong, for not seeing the gift, for not seeing the grace. Every day that the son was gone, the father would look down the road leading to his house, hoping that he would see his son coming home. And then one day, while he was still far off, he saw him. The father's mercy overflowed. He ran, fell on the son's neck, and showered him with kisses. Overwhelmed by grace, the son truly repents. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." No need to work off his debt, for he realizes that he can do nothing. It is all by grace, costly grace, the grace of the life of the Son of God in exchange for the life of the world. This prodigal turned self-righteous son now sees pure grace in the Father, grace that only comes from a tree outside Jerusalem, where the gift of life to the world was given by the shedding of the blood of Jesus, the very Son of God. At the cross, there is nothing for us to do but to weep over our sins and our self-righteousness, and rejoice in the gift. For Jesus died for sinners, for you. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's the grace. It's not up to you. For Jesus loves the prodigal so much that he is willing to give up his life for him. While you were still far off, your merciful Father sees you, runs to you, falls on your neck, showers you with kisses, kills the fatted calf, showing mercy and forgiveness at a feast that knows no end, even though you are his prodigal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.